Welcome to Battle Ready. I'm Ricky Chavez, and on this show, we look at the principles that help people lead under pressure, adapt to uncertainty, and stay ready for the next challenge. Today, we're talking with David Favela, founder of the Latino Startup. He is a builder, strategist, advisor, and entrepreneur who has spent decades working across technology, manufacturing, food and beverage, and community-driven innovations. David has worked inside major corporations has also built ventures from the ground up. Give him a rare understanding of both structural and corporate environments and the realities of entrepreneurship. But what makes David's perspective especially powerful is not only his business experience, it's his understanding of what it means to build while navigating systems that were not always designed for people like us. David, welcome to Battle Ready.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here and sharing this topic with you.
You know, I was telling you during, you know, when we were waiting for it to go on air that, I watched one of your YouTube videos and you said something that was near and dear to my heart. You know, I'm an Army veteran, right? And in one of your shows, you said, you know, you really designed this to help the Latino community have the opportunity to be all they can be, right?
Absolutely.
And with the Army, you know, that was our slogan forever. So I'm really excited to go walk through this with you. So tell me a little bit about you, David. Tell me about where you're from. Tell me about, you know, maybe upbringing, whatever you want to share with us, but let us know how we came to be here in your community.
Yeah, of course. The real quick version is born and raised here in San Diego, but with deep roots in Durango, Mexico. And I mean deep because my father would take us back every summer in a big green pickup truck with a white camper shell. And, you know, we'd ride horses in La Sierra. And so I was really always a border baby, you know, someone who had a foot in Mexico and a foot in the U.S. And that gave me a really interesting perspective. And so as I was growing up here in San Diego, I went to community college. I went to CSU Chico, eventually was nominated for a Woodrow Wilson Fellowship at Princeton, attended that for the program, came back, finished my master's at UCSD, and I worked for Hewlett-Packard for over 20 years in a variety of fields from global supply chain to intellectual property licensing and sales. So I've led a really wild life. To make it even wilder, I started my own craft brewery, the largest Latino craft brewery in the United States at that time. I was nominated for a James Beard Award in 2020, which is a big acknowledgement because the beer we were making were Mexican-inspired beers. And so I felt really proud on behalf of my culture that people love melding, you know, Mexican flavors with European brewing traditions. But, you know, COVID hit, created a lot of challenges. I had three breweries at the time. So then I went as a way of offsetting kind of the burden on the brewery because I needed a paycheck as well. I went back to work at UC San Diego as a director of a tech incubator there, just leveraging all my knowledge and contacts. And when that was cut, I started my own program because, as I was telling you, the mission isn't over. We have a major challenge in the Latino community to create what we call scalable businesses. You know, I want people to understand that there are two kinds of Latino businesses and they're both wonderful. One is owner operated, where the owner is the heart of that business, whether it's a restaurant, plumbing, roofing, like the owner plays a pivotal role. And if they ever left, it'd be really hard for that organization to continue. Versus what we call a scalable ventures, where the idea becomes people, processes, and basically a self-sustaining thing that can scale beyond the owner's time, beyond the owner's capability. It can become a $10, $20, $100 million business. And we're doing extremely well in owner-operated. We're not doing well in scalable businesses. And that's kind of one of the things I hope our listeners today get out of this is we're incredibly entrepreneurial, but we have one more challenge. We need to create companies that scale.
When you look back on your career, what experience shaped you the most as a builder and advisor?
You know, the interesting thing is when I entered I always knew I was an entrepreneur. And so even as I went into HP, it's funny enough, I said, no more than 5 years, I'll be gone and start my own company. So I was always in my mind. I had that entrepreneurial mindset. But even as I went into it, they throw you into the fire. I was negotiating $1 million contracts, and I looked around and I said, I'm not qualified. Like, I didn't feel qualified for that. And so it was interesting overcoming what I would call the imposter syndrome, right? And that's one of the things I worked through at Hewlett Packard. I started finding my voice. I started to find my value. I started to build my skill set and really use it as a training camp to really become who I am now. And it's very interesting, you know, it's one of the things that I've seen with a lot of my founders is they have this thing called mindset. And if you think about it, it's the collection of ideas and perceptions you have about yourself, about how you're going to move through the world and what kind of leadership you're going to demonstrate. It's in here, it's in your mindset. And so I think that would probably be the seminal experience in my mind is that HP really helped me step out and really become the person that I thought I could be, but it took a process to get there.
So, you know, what I'm hearing here is you kind of facilitate a paradigm shift, right? People think they're one way and think they're capable of only certain successes, where in fact, if you help them kind of unleash what they actually have in them and with some guidance, help them, you know, facilitate their dream. Is that what I'm hearing?
You're absolutely hearing that. I'm a big believer in self-actualization. Like every single person in our community has a unique set of skills and capabilities that they've acquired or innate talent that they have. And sadly, my feeling is that because they're not given the tools, they never get to become everything they can be. You know, and to me, that's a huge waste of community talent. How do we bring out the best in everybody?
Well, how's your own journey influenced the way you advise entrepreneurs today?
Well, you know, I've been there, done that. You know, I've done the corporate thing. I've done my own business. I've been in advising now for over 5 years, 300 startups that I've advised. And basically, I think life has conspired to make me who I am today. Right? I can sympathize or empathize with people who come from very humble backgrounds. I mean, when I was a child, I guess 10, 11 years old, I would dumpster dive and collect aluminum cans so that I would have my own money to buy my own things. Because in a family of 7 children, living off of only my father's construction salary, you kind of had to fend for yourself. So I bring all of those experiences, which when you think about it, it's a really wild combination of experiences and, you know, knowledge that I've gained throughout my life from the, we were talking earlier, remember we said from the barrio to the boardroom, lived that. And, you know, it's just wild because it pushes you to evolve. I think what you were saying is like, you thought you were this thing, you pushed yourself, you succeeded. And then you start realizing, well, maybe I can be more things. Maybe I can acquire more skills. Maybe I can test myself and put myself in new environments, new challenges, and rise to the opportunity.
You know, and we'll come back to the Army real fast. So in the Army, as an Army recruiter, we used to administer what they called was the ASVAB, Armed Service Vocational Aptitude Battery. It was an entrance exam to the military, but it was more there to highlight what a person could be more successful at. In other words, you know, they thought, well, you know, I'm going to be a manager here, or I'm going to be I'm going to be a cook. You know, my whole life, my parents are cooks, this, that, and the other, and that's my mindset. However, through the ASVAB, what it did was showed them what their aptitude was. So because of this test, it said, okay, yeah, you could be a good cook. However, if you were this, you would find more success because that's where your aptitude is. And that's why I feel like, is that how you guide people to where they're going?
Absolutely. I had a seminal moment at HP where I took the Gallup poll. They have this thing called the Strength Finder exercise.
Right.
And just you go through and it tells you, here are the 5 things that you're really good at. Here are the 5 things you're not good at. And it was so profound for me that I went from global supply chain, which I felt comfortable, I'd achieved a lot. And then it said, no, you're strategic, you're a learner, you want to do different things. And so there's a series, I think they named over 50 different strengths, to your point, like what are you good at? And I decided to do a career change. And so I went into new business development, a very risky move, right? And I helped start up new companies within HP. Now, I couldn't have been happier, my brother. Couldn't have been happier. And I did that because of the strength assessment that I took. And I was extremely successful in the second stage of my career.
People are scared to find out what they're really good at. And they're scared only because, you know, one of the things about our show is you don't know what you don't know. Without knowing things, how do you, you know, find out about them? How do you try to, you know, open your mind to other opportunities? I mean, my wife's the perfect example. She was at Coca-Cola for years, and she started as an admin, went to sales, she did great. Then she went to management. And now, I mean, now she leads about 280 realtors, and that's where, and she would have never known had there's not been somebody intervening.
And that's a beautiful thing. I think a fully expressed life where people have tapped in, overcome their fears, overcome their challenges, have become this person. I kind of feel like that's our mission in life. Like that's what you're supposed to be doing, figuring out who you are, what you're good at, and go for it. And become, again, coming back to the army, be all you can be, right?
Right. Okay. You know, your story reminds us of the readiness, not only about the skill, it's all about the resilience, identity, and learning how to keep building when the system was not built with us in mind. After the break, we will talk about founders and how they move forward with their ideas and how you help them with the opportunity. David, we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Battle Ready. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you're on the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv, from business and news to lifestyle, culture, leadership, and beyond. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So now, before the break, David and I were talking about the journey across corporate innovation, entrepreneurship, and community-driven business building. Now we're going to move a little bit further into the practical side. How a founder takes an idea, separates possibility from distraction, and finds the strongest opportunity to pursue this, and where the battle really is. David, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
You know, many entrepreneurs have ideas, but they don't always know where to start. How do you help someone clarify their business idea?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges for the Latino community is we don't have a common culture of entrepreneurship. And what I mean by that is a set of ideas or moves that you can make to build a business, right? If you ask 100 people what the first thing they should do, well, get business cards or claim your, incorporate your company in Delaware, like spend, spend, spend. And I practice something called Lean Startup that came out of Silicon Valley. And I love the name Lean because that means that you're not spending a lot up front. So that's one of the biggest things that I hope my community learns is it's not about spending. It's about validating your business idea in terms of is it going to work or not work? And there's a series of steps that you have to do. And some of them seem like simple in retrospect, but frankly, they're very profound. And there's only 5 steps. If you don't mind, I can walk people
Please.
Through them real quickly.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know where to start. And the funniest thing is the best place to start is finding a great problem. You know, people think that, no, it's just creativity. Wouldn't people love this wallet or something? Or, you know, they think in terms of the solution first. They're going to create something that hopefully solves some problem. But Lean Startup says, no, you've got to have very clearly who's your customer. Who's going to buy this? And you describe them in detail. So you create this thing called a problem statement. You define the person that you're solving the problem for. You describe what it is they struggle with the most so that you're very clear on how they experience the problem. And then number 3 is you write out what's the consequence of not solving the problem. Because Ricky, you know, the funny thing is problems come in all sizes. They can be micro nuisance or they can be life or death problems. You know, if you have cancer, wouldn't you want the cure to cancer? If you have a niche in your back, you need a back scratcher, but that's maybe not a great problem to go after to solve. So that's the first pivot that I think our community has to do on a more regular basis, is not look for ideas or solutions or products, but think about how daily life presents challenges. You know, if you think of all the biggest companies in the world, Uber, oh, what a brilliant app. No, the problem that they were tackling was public transportation. You know, Airbnb, same thing. They seem shiny and cool and modern, but the thing is, they're solving very fundamental problems. And so the greater problem that you go after, the better opportunity you have of being a successful business. That's step one. Step two, and I'll go faster, research and analysis. Is it a problem worth solving? Who's trying to solve it today? And then number three is what's called customer discovery. And this is a wild one for most people to understand. But it's going out and meeting with customers and asking them what their problem is and the specific problem that you're trying to solve. The one rule about customer discovery is you don't pitch your business. And that's a trap most people fall in. They're like, hey, you go to friends and family members, I'm thinking of starting XY company or product, and it's going to be great, and it's going to do this. And you know what they say? Yeah, go for it. Great idea. You've not learned anything. All you did was potentially create a supporter. You know, the lean startup is really about learning, like learning the problem, learning the customer. And so these customer discovery sessions are really pivotal. The fourth stage is what I tell people is the innovation stage. Don't ever try to do a commodity business. Really think about what you're trying to do. You know, if you think about a lot of the companies, you know, that Latinos, Mexicans start, sometimes we look to others for inspiration. Hey, he started a party rental company. I'm going to do the exact same thing in exactly the same way. And God bless them both. Hopefully there's enough market for both of them. But ideally, when you start any kind of business, you really want to think about what's going to make me different, right? How am I going to stand out? When I started my craft brewery, it was simple. I'm Latino. I have Latino palate, flavors that I like. I'm going to make Latino craft beer. There was no one doing that. And it really helped my craft brewery blow up in a really positive way. And then lastly, and Latinos are very good at this, there's something called the prototyping stage, where you build the simplest version of your idea and you test it. So for me, my brewery, I went to an art show in Barrio Logan here in San Diego, and people loved my beer. And that was a confirmation that, hey, maybe I had something that could be invested in, something that could grow. I rented a tap room in Barrio Logan. We blew up, we did really well. And so even my brewer, I use Lean Startup, a series of small calculated bets to provide evidence or facts that my business was gonna succeed. So those are the five steps of Lean Startup. There's a lot more depth to it, and that's why I built this community, is that I want people to really understand these steps and begin adopting them as just the normal way to go after an idea or a business.
Ask you this, you know, what I'm thinking about is, you know, the fear that people have with starting up anything, right? So how can a founder identify their strongest opportunity?
That's a great question. That's assuming that they, well, I think, first of all, like I said, you got to find a great problem. You know, if you come up with a small idea that's solving a small problem, your business is never going to grow and become everything that it could be. When, like me, I have a portfolio of ideas. Like right now, I've got three or four business ideas that I'm considering going after. And you really have to understand the second step, which is research and analysis. All right. How much is my average cost? How big is the market for this? What could be an expected revenue generated? How profitable could this be? How many people am I competing with? So there, that second step is really trying to answer before you spend a lot of time and energy into this. It's, you know, if I want to start a taco shop, but there are 20 taco shops within a, you know, half mile radius. I mean, I'm not saying don't do it, just be fully aware that you're entering a very competitive market that might be really hard for you to succeed in. So that's how they would go about identifying their best ideas is first find great problems, and then secondly, validate the opportunity.
So just as important, how do they know what to ignore?
How do it, what to ignore?
Yeah, what to ignore? You know, all the noise out there. Try this, do that, do, you know, what about this? What about that?
Brother, the biggest challenge for founders is exactly what you just said. It's being overwhelmed by all the details, all the like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. You're already thinking about problems 2 or 3 steps down the road, and you shouldn't do that. One of the things I always do with my startups when I consult with them is I want to make sure they have clarity on what the next step is. And so to me, there's a sequence of steps to take before you invest too much. So forget about the business cards and corporation where you're going to raise capital. Be pure, be focused on the first step. So if the first step is finding a great problem, then do a good job about that. If the second step is now research and analysis, figure out if it's worthwhile to solve, that it's a good industry to get into, that the opportunity is growing. And then the third step, which I think really is the concrete move to really validate if you're on the right track or not, is the customer discovery. You know, I find even before I started the Latino startup, I met with and talked to a lot of Latinos from all backgrounds and education levels. And I asked them questions of like, what has anyone asked three questions. Did anyone tell you you could be a startup founder or an entrepreneur? And the crazy thing, Rick, is they nearly 100% said no. My whole life, no one ever told me that this was even an option. Number two, I asked them, do you know how to do it? And again, nearly 100% said, no, I don't have a method. And then number three is I asked, do you know anybody who is doing this and succeeding, like having their own startup and scaling their company? And it was a little less, it was like 95%, but I've talked to hundreds, thousands of people. And the crazy thing is, how does that happen? Nearly 100% don't know they could be an entrepreneur, don't know how, and don't know anybody in it. And I think that's the most important thing is trying to overcome those issues. And that came out of my customer discovery. So that validated for me that, hey, maybe there's a hunger, maybe there's a need to, for my community to start talking about these things. So I didn't just pull it out of thin air and say, hey, I'm going to start this kind of business that's focused on this. I did it based on a hypothesis that I validated through research and customer interviews. And I think if, as Latinos, we become more comfortable with that, instead of just following our gut, we'll increase the chances of our success.
You know, I'm thinking about the conversation on our show, and it's really funny. You know, I was at the gym this morning, and I watched this movie called The Underdog. Have you ever seen it by chance?
I don't think so. Tell me.
So it's actually a sports movie about a coach that takes over a Catholic school football thing. But in the movie, the parent of one of the kids developed like a heater. And when you were telling me about the thought process, what the problem was, and when he was in court fighting about it, he said, they asked how he thought about it. He says, well, I was in bed and my wife's feet are always cold and she always wears socks. And that's what I wanted to address. And that made me think about what you're saying. This is the problem. This is what's going on. And that's pretty amazing. You know, David's approach is practical and grounded. He helps people move from confusion to clarity and from scattered ideas to focus on action. After the break, we'll look at why strategy also helps them align with values, capacity, and the kind of a life a founder is actually trying to build and how we can help them get there. David, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Battle Ready. I'm Ricky Chavez, and I'm here with David Favela. We've been discussing the journey from experience to strategy and from idea to opportunity. Now we're going to go a little deeper into something every leader has to face: alignment. A business idea may look strong on paper, but if it does not align with the founder's values, capacity, or goals, and in real life, it can become another source of pressure instead of path forward. Before we talk about that, David, you were telling me in the break about one of the individuals you helped with her business and what she did. Please share your story.
Yeah, so it's a great story. She's a great example of what I call a self-actualized, complete person. She, her name's Ruth Young Loeza. She started a company called Neat Sheets. That company has received over $1 million of investment. But what makes the story incredible is that in the early part of her life, she was a hotel housekeeper. She's the person that would go in, clean, empty the trash, make the bed. And she had a very tragic accident that immobilized her for about 6 months. But during those 6 months, she could use her hands and she started thinking about some of the ideas that she had about her work. And she thought about the bed making process, and she knows the hotel standards and she knows the process so well that she started inventing a system that used different kind of flaps and elastic and met the hotel requirements. And so she created a prototype. Someone found her and supported her and said, you need to patent this. So she holds 6 US patents and a few foreign patents on her bedsheet system innovation. And, you know, we're going to talk about how our experiences shape us. And, you know, she rose to the moment. She's at like 5'2", 120 pounds at the most. You know, grandmother now, she's in her upper 50s. And she's out there on pitch stages telling her story. She's negotiating with people on, you know, $500,000 deals. She's hiring people. She's staffing her team. She's raising money. I just find it incredible. But that illustrates to me a couple of points. Remember, we talked about finding a great problem. Sometimes in your work or in your life, you'll encounter these problems, but no one thinks twice about them. And so if we want our community to be more entrepreneurial, we have to be better at finding those problems and saying, there's got to be a better way. And then we also have to evolve ourselves to step up into the opportunity that our hard work is creating. I mean, I remember when I first met her, we were at a presentation and I handed the mic to her and I hadn't seen her speak publicly. And I was like, I hope she's going to be okay. You know, my heart was beating and I was just hoping she's going to be fine. She knocked it out of the park. Like, she grabbed that mic and she went from a 5'2 little Mexican woman to a 7 foot tall, you know, leader out there. And her presence and charisma just filled the stage. And that's how she's winning these things. She's actually in September going for another pitch competition for $1 million. And she stands a really good chance of winning that money. And I think it's a wonderful thing. You talked about, you know, the things that guide us. For her, she's doing this, yes, for the money, but it's because an idea that would help and impact the lives of hundreds of thousands of housekeepers like her. And she is a very religious woman, and she finds a lot of strength in tapping into her religion to keep her going and pushing her into greater and greater heights of leadership and accomplishment. So I love that story. I'm going to be telling it more and more as we continue to evolve.
Move fast. You know, I was thinking about this during break. Hey, tell me, do you still have the brewery?
No, unfortunately, I got rid of the Los Angeles brewery. COVID was just a very difficult time. I closed down this brewery down here, but mostly because of rent. They were looking to increase it by 50%. I mean, we went from, 3X over the lifetime of the brewery. But I do have one brewery still. It's here in Barrio Logan. My wife manages it. It's called Mujeres Brew House. It's the only Latina-led craft brewery. They have so much fun. They make some incredible beers, and the vibe there is just, you know, my wife loves Mexican candy stores, you know, the bright colors and all the
stuff.
So she's got that place full, and it's a beloved institution here in San Diego. It's on the short list of things to do and things to see in San Diego.
So listen, if somebody was wanting to continue this conversation with you, reach out to you, or maybe get some guidance from you, how would somebody contact you?
There's a lot of ways to contact me, and I'm very responsive. The number one way is go to thelatinostartup.com and just fill in your information and I'll get back to you exactly. The second way that also works is you can join our school community. It's free of charge. It's the Latino Startup School, S-K-O-O-L. If you just put that in your browser, there's nothing else that'll come up but me. And you can join the community and you can DM me, and you can, we have sessions, live sessions on Thursday nights, where we, you know, all my entrepreneurial group comes together and we commiserate, we inspire each other, we make each other laugh, and we support each other. And so that's a really valuable thing. So that's where, those are probably the two best places. Join the school, or go to our webpage and fill out an information form.
Talk about aligning an idea with values, capacity, and goals. Is that so important?
It's critical. I mean, there are people who are purely driven by, you know, monetary compensation or finance, and they'll create whatever business to make that money. For example, trading. Like, I'm not very good at trading stocks. I'm just, my heart's not in it. If you ask me, hey, David, but you could become a millionaire trading stocks, I'm just not there. It's not something I want to do. I get high. I get passionate about helping others grow. I mean, as a teacher in college, I've always taught. I've always spoken in public. I've always helped my community. I used to teach, was it migrant ed, to all the kids in the migrant farm worker camps. You know, there's just something that I get a lot of satisfaction out of helping people grow and succeed. And it's not everybody has that. You know, other people, my best friend is like, David, I don't understand why you care so much about others. You should just care about yourself. And I'm like, it just, that's not me. That's not how I'm wired. And so being aligned with your morals and your beliefs and your objectives, that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you bringing that fire to whatever it is that you're doing. And it's scientifically proven that if you have a passion for something, you'll probably do better than most people executing it, just because you're willing to put in that extra effort.
And that passion probably helps a whole lot also, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's a great book by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers, and he talks about how some people perform at exceptional levels. And he said, passion is an essential component. LeBron James, you know, some of these sports athletes are out there practicing like 2x what the normal athlete does. Why? Because it's their passion. I mean, that's what has them out on the court at midnight, you know, doing 100 free throws. If you're a violinist, that's what's going to make you put in extra hours. It's what's going to make you, because why? It truly, it's a little cliche to say when you love something, it doesn't feel like work. Okay. But it's true. When I work with people, I lose track of time. I'm so focused on that person. I'm in my flow state, right? I'm there to help them. I'm there to help them move forward. So passion is critical.
So how do you help founders gain confidence without, you know, giving them unrealistic expectations?
Pasito por pasito, step by step. And that's why I love the way that we approach with the Lean Startup. You know, you use empathy to think about the customer. Like, you try, I tell people, try to visualize who you're trying to help. And I find that the better you understand the customer and the problem that they're having, the more passion you have to bring forth. And then the third step, like I said, customer discovery, where you're interviewing people who have the problem that you're trying to solve. I find that to be incredibly inspirational, because, you know, you and I might have an idea, but it isn't until we start talking to customers that they're telling us, oh man, I hate my life. I got to do, you know, or this product or this service or this thing is such a pain to me. Every day I think about this issue and it's really frustrating. When you validate that, like, you're on a mission now. Now you've talked to real people. They told you what's going on. Now you're on a mission to figure out how to solve it. And I've seen a lot of my startups really catch fire at that stage, because it's no longer theoretical. It's like, these are real people. And if, you know, ideally you interview like 100 people. I know most people struggle to get 20 to 30, but even at 20 or 30 who are all saying, yeah, I have this problem and no one is solving it for me, and I'm willing to give people good money to solve the problem.
So what role does identity, culture, or lived experiences play in the way people, you know, build their business?
Oh, it's the lens we see the world through. I mean, I can't pretend to be French or German or anything else. I'm Latino. And in fact, when I started my craft brewery, the idea of like, well, let's just make European recipes that we have absolutely no connection to. And I thought that was crazy. So I said, no, guys, if we're going to do a craft brewery, We've got to do it with a Latino flair. Why? Because there are other Latinos who aren't going to craft breweries because they don't feel welcome. They don't feel connected. That was the problem I was tackling with my craft brewery is how do I create a public space that addresses the needs of Latinos and Latinas in our community so that they have a safe, fun experience that they can come to. And that's the lens that I saw it through. So we started making beers inspired by our traditions. The first beer we made was a Jamaica beer, you know, Agua de Jamaica. Blew me away. It was so delicious. Everyone loved it. Our business blew up. And then we made our best beer at the end was a Pepino Sour. Like there's no one making a cucumber beer. And even when I say it in English, it sounds weird, doesn't it?
Right.
Like a vegetable beer, like you might as well make a beet or a carrot
right.
beer or whatever. But no, but people don't understand for Latinos that making, cutting up cucumbers on a summer day that have been in the refrigerator, a little bit of lime, salt, tajin, that is the best, most fresh thing you could do. And we thought, well, what if we could make that into a beer? And we did, and people absolutely went crazy for it. They loved, that was our best selling beer of all time. But again, it didn't occur to any other brewery. No one else was making anything like it because they didn't have the cultural lens. They didn't understand what our customer, our demographic liked. They didn't understand the flavors. We were also one of the first to make a craft, a Michelada.
Okay. Well, listen, we're going to get ready to go into a break. You know, the strongest strategy is not disconnected from the person building it. It reflects values, capacity, timing, and the courage to move forward and clarify. When we come back, we're going to talk to David about his one-on-one strategy sessions and the practical outcomes entrepreneurs can expect when they meet up with him. David, we'll be right back.
My timer went off right there at the end. So I wasn't looking at the clock.
Welcome back to Battle Ready. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand. Anytime you like, download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. Or if you're on the move, you can catch the podcast version on www.nowmedia.tv, from business and news to lifestyle, culture, and leadership and beyond. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready for you whenever you're available. Now, welcome back. We're going to be here with David Favela. David, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Man, I think we have such good conversation. We've had such good conversation, but I think on the break, we've been having some pretty good conversations. Almost keep talking to you afterwards. So, you know, I've been talking about building with purpose, navigating systems, finding opportunities, and aligning strategy with values. In the first segment, you know, we were focused on the practical next step. And then the one-on-one strategy is a session we're going to talk about now. This session is designed to help entrepreneurs and founders clarify their business and startup idea, identify the strongest opportunity, uncover blind spots, define immediate next steps, and leave with direction, confidence, and the clear path forward. Now, that is a mouthful. Man, how do you find time?
Yeah, no, it is. And that's why I have the Latino startup. And I'm still trying to figure out how do I have the biggest impact on the most people I possibly could. And that's kind of how I'm starting to develop the programming. So, but the one thing that I have been doing for the last year and a half as I've kicked off this program is the one-on-ones. So what I've really learned, I do these one-on-one meetings for two reasons. One, I want to help the person who's going through the process of starting their own company. But number two is I want to understand what it is that's holding them back. And, you know, after 300 startups, I can tell you that the number one thing holding most Latinos or maybe perhaps all founders back is mindset. You know, I never fully appreciated how influential the preconceived notions people have when they come into the process. But it is the number one factor, because what I find that I need to do is, number one, is I need to deprogram people. Like they come into the program and they're like, okay, put me in front of some investors, or, you know, let me make my pitch, or, and I'm like, no, brother or sister, that's not how it's done. And so what I find is I have to deprogram them and say, no, we got to go to we got to start at the beginning. Who is your customer, right? What is the problem? What happens if they don't solve it? Then we do all the other steps that I mentioned. because each step validates the business proposition. So when you go in front of investors or VC fund, you know, your slides, your pitch deck isn't just a fancy, pretty set of slides. It's actually the final product of this methodical process of building and validating your idea. I mean, we were talking earlier about customer discovery, and imagine how more credible you are. Imagine you and I are pitching a business and they say, well, what proof do you have? Well, I'm glad that you asked. I actually interviewed 100 doctors and nurses, and I, you know, collected this data, and 98% of them said that this is a really big problem. You know, 90% of them said that they would pay good money to have it solved. Like, it creates credibility. It creates inspiration. It gives momentum. And that's the critical thing that I think a lot of Latinos lose, is that momentum, because they get stuck on trying to do too many things. And that's why I tell them, pump the brakes. Don't worry about something 3 steps from now. If you have a great problem, if you researched it and you're meeting with people who have the problem and they validate it, you know, keep going. That's the momentum that you need to have. So that's what I find is one of the biggest challenges, and what people get out of my steps is that I'm evolving them as people. Well, not so much me, the business that they're trying to create is forcing them to evolve. It's forcing them to confront that maybe they're not comfortable being a public speaker. Well, guess what? If you're a founder, you have to be comfortable with telling people about your business idea. That's the only way you can manifest it. You can't write it on a napkin and slide it to someone at a bar and say, fund me $100,000 for my business. No, you have to talk to people. You have to talk to customers. You have to be convincing. So that's what I do, is I help people stand up and evolve as they develop their own business.
How do you help them identify their strongest opportunity?
Yeah, that's research. You know, that's where we sit down and we talk about things. And you know, where I see people pivot, we use a term in Lean Startup called pivot, where it's like, hey, I didn't know, I thought this was my best opportunity, but actually it's not. I mean, I've had cases, but it happens in that third step, that customer discovery step. For example, I was working with a biotech startup, and we had this incredible product. It's basically for the veterinarian industry. You put in some samples, some fluid samples, into a little toaster thing, and it does a very advanced analytical process and determines what bacteria or virus your dog has. As we started interviewing, we went to Petco, we went to different, like, you know, doing customer discovery and intro, and they all hated it. They didn't want it. It was the most exciting technology, patented technology. And we went to a veterinarian in front of a veterinarian investment board, and they said, well, guys, we're veterinarians. When someone brings a sick dog to us, we just give them everything, broad spectrum antibiotics, antivirals. They throw everything in the kitchen sink at them. So whatever the dog had, we kind of don't care. It's not important to us. And that was just a shocking realization that we had this incredible technology. We thought it was the best opportunity, but as your idea crashes into reality, which happens in that third stage, that's where you know whether the opportunity is good or not.
Be a kind of interesting experience. I would have never thought about that, interviewing others, getting this group of people together and just start asking them, all right, you have this problem. I have this idea to provide a solution. What do you feel about that? I mean, you have to have some, like, tough skin, I would think.
Oh, yeah. No, see, and that's what I tell you. It feels awkward. I get it. You know, cold calling a doctor saying, hey, do you have 15 minutes? I'd like to ask you a series of questions. You know, it's hard. It's not natural. Most of us are not that outgoing, that comfortable with initiating conversations. But I'll tell you, wouldn't you want to know if your idea has any legs early on in the process versus after a year of investing your time, energy, and treasure into building your idea, and all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, nobody wants it. You know, I had a Chinese young lady that I advise. She wanted to build, she built a platform for parents to find a good Montessori school in their area. And I say, well, that's an interesting idea. Your problem is that parents don't have, aren't able to identify and evaluate Montessori schools around them. So, okay, sounds interesting. But I said, how do you know? Go interview 5 schools and then come back. And to her credit, and one of the things I want to talk to you about is coachability is a big factor for entrepreneurial success, that is acting on advice and not just ignoring it. She went, she interviewed 5 and she goes, David, nobody wanted my web platform. No one was going to pay anything for some kind of school referral system. But they all said something that surprised me. They all said that they want a platform to communicate with parents because Montessori is expensive. And parents need to be informed of what's going on at the school and be involved, more involved, because that'll keep them keeping their children in that process. And so she started that app. And right now she's blowing up. She is going to be one of the biggest IT providers for the Montessori global industry. She's bringing in a school in Beijing now to adopt her solution. So again, at the end of the day, you and I can think about what the problem is. We can research it, but it isn't until we test it with real people and go like she did and ask them, hey, do you want what I have? And they said no. So she ditched $15,000 of website development and all this other jazz and started from scratch on a totally new direction. Why? Because her customers told her that's what they needed. That's what they wanted. That was their problem.
And had you not told her that, she would have been picking stones.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So real fast, how do people get a hold of you? How do people get an opportunity to discuss with you and your team, you know, I want to build a business?
Yeah, the best way to start is go to thelatinostartup.com. Fill out the information. We'll get in touch with you. We'll set up a 1-hour free meeting, and I'll give you a sense for, you know, where are you at with your idea? How might we help you and support you as you move forward? And that would be the best way. Or if you'd like to go directly to the Latino Startup School, you can also enter the program there. It's free of charge. The only thing we charge for is when you need extra help. But given the resources and everything we provide, you should be able to make really great, if not complete, progress. But, you know, not all of us have everything. You know, we got blind spots.
Well, you said, you know, the name is Latino Startup. However, you help people from everywhere, every culture, every demographic, anybody that needs help, right?
Yes. I absolutely turn no one away. So, you know, I mentioned earlier on that I'm focused on scalable businesses, those that can reach 5, 10, 100 million. But if someone comes to me and says, I want to start a taco shop or a taco cart, you know, great, let's apply this. If you're not Latino, I don't turn anybody away. I mean, some of my most successful startups are Chinese, Korean, African American, and Latino. What I try to get across to people is, look, if you're comfortable with a carne asada instead of a barbecue, then come through our program, right? Because you're gonna, that's the sazon that we're delivering the service with culture. And if you like our culture, then bienvenido, welcome, and let's have a lot of fun.
But the other part of it is culture or not. I mean, the information, the opportunity, the growth, and not knowing what you don't know, you will walk them through how to be successful. So it doesn't matter, right?
Doesn't matter. Same steps, same support and interaction. And the only reason, again, I did it for Latinos is because we have a huge challenge. You know, we're 20% of the U.S. population. We are very entrepreneurial, but we're not building the bigger companies, the 50, 100, you know, $200 million companies. And we have to, because as the baby boomers are retiring, they're leaving a gap in our economy, a gap that needs to be closed, a gap that needs to be built out so that we can continue to have a robust economy, robust economic growth, and better quality of life, ultimately. You know, I feel like if we were all better at finding solutions to problems, our quality of life goes up. It's that 100%. Simple.
Yeah. No, David, thank you for joining us, for sharing not only your expertise, but also the human side of your journey. You know, what stands out for this conversation is that building a business is not just about having an idea. It's about clarity, alignment, resilience, and knowing how to move forward in a practical way. For entrepreneurs and founders watching, David's message is clear. You do not need more theory. You need more direction, confidence, and an actionable path. I'm Ricky Chavez. Thank you for watching Battle Ready on Now Media TV. Stay connected with us for more conversations with leaders, builders, and changemakers who are creating impact throughout purpose, discipline, and action. We hope to see you again. Give us some feedback. We'll talk to you soon.
Muchísimas gracias.